Very happy to be able to welcome you to our services on this Lord's Day evening. We appreciate the fact that you've chosen to be here tonight, and especially if you're visiting with us tonight. Thank you for being here, and come back and be with us anytime that you can. Don't forget about fortifying the family. Next Lord's Day, there are these postcards in all the foyers. Take as many as you like and distribute them by mail or by giving one to someone in person, however you want to do it. But let's make sure that we invite people to be with us to hear Brother Billy Davis next Sunday. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. We know the story how that God sent 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt, the nation of Egypt, and we know how that God delivered those people through those plagues. Pharaoh finally relented and he let the people go. Now, if you think about Moses and the people being in the desert, you know, what in the world was Moses going to do with all these people? You know, God had brought them out of bondage in a miraculous way, and they had to be fed, and feeding 2 to 3 million people requires a lot of food. I looked up the population of Mississippi this afternoon, and I figured that would be pretty close. They have a little over 2.8 million people in that state, and I think that's probably about right, maybe somewhat conservative as to the population of the children of Israel. And according to the quartermaster general in the army, it's reported that Moses would have had to have had 1,500 tons of food each and every day. And we need to realize that to bring that much food each day, 2 freight trains at least a mile long would be required. That's something to think about. And then you consider as well that they were in the desert, and so you're going to have wood to cook all of this food for all of this many people. And think about the fact that that would take 4,000 tons of wood, a few more freight trains, each a mile long, just for one day. And then on top of all this, you consider the fact that they were in transit, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And of course, they would have to have water. You have to have water to survive. And not only did they need water to survive, but you think about where they were wandering. They were out in the desert. And if they had only enough to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons of water each day, and a freight train with tank cars 1,800 miles long just to bring that water. And then there's another thing. I want you to consider the fact that they had to cross the Red Sea. And they had to cross the Red Sea at night. Now, if these folks went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long. It would require 35 days and nights to get through. So that's not going to work. And so there had to be a space in the Red Sea 3 miles wide so they could walk 5,000 abreast in order to get over the Red Sea in one night. But then you think about another problem that also Moses had to deal with as well. Each time these folks stopped to camp, they camped at the end of the day, a campground 2/3 the size of Rhode Island was required, a total of 750 square miles. That is how much they needed in order to camp. Now, I want to ask you this question tonight, and I hope you'll consider it very carefully. Do you think that Moses had all of this figured out before he left Egypt? You think Moses and a group of men met in a committee and they figured out the logistics of all this and how everybody was going to be fed and how they were going to go about setting up their camp and providing the wood and the water and so forth? Did Moses have all this figured out in regard to how they were going to accomplish this? You see, we need to understand tonight, and this is the lesson that I want to drive home. It's the only thought that I want you to really leave here with tonight. You see, Moses believed in God. And what did God do? God provided. God took care of Moses. God provided everything that the children of Israel needed. Now, here's the point I want you to take home with you tonight. Do you think that God has any problem at all taking care of your needs? You just think about how God provided for these people. You think about what he did for the children of Israel and the amount of food and water that it took to get these folks to where they were going to go over that 40-year period of time. Do you think that God maybe can take care of me as well? Certainly that puts a whole new perspective on it, doesn't it? God will take care of me. God will provide for my needs and my necessities. And when I turn to the pages of God's Word, I am impressed with the faithfulness of God, as not only the fact that he demonstrates the fact that he's going to care for people as he did the children of Israel, but he's promised me, he's promised you, that he's going to take care of us as well. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? See, you and God make the majority. And that's comforting to know as we deal with life on a daily basis. Or I love Philippians 4 and verse 19, which says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To me, a great source of encouragement and strength is found in Psalms chapter 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God's our refuge. God's going to take care of us. Or you consider 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, where the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Or we remember the promise of Psalms chapter 55 and verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's a song written based upon Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1. And it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength hold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then I think about the man who penned several of these passages that we have looked at tonight, the man David, a man after God's own heart. David, through experience, through observation, could say the following in Psalms 37 and verse 25. And I believe many of you here tonight who are older and up in years could make the same statement. David said, I have been young, and now I am old. And yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I hope you'll leave this building tonight impressed with the concept that God loves me. Not only does God love me, God cares for me. God provides for my needs. And if I trust in the Lord with all mine heart, if I don't lean on my own understanding, if I'll acknowledge Him in everything, then the Bible says in Proverbs, He will direct my steps. So the question tonight is for you to consider, is your faith in God such that He is directing your footsteps? Are you trusting in Him for your every care and every need? Tonight we sing a song of encouragement, and maybe you haven't had that kind of faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to get things done on your own terms. Maybe there are things that you've allowed to come between you and a right relationship with God. Or maybe tonight your faith has not even led you to become a Christian. You may need to come tonight and make that decision and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And so tonight we sing this song of encouragement, and if you need to come, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.